Okay. Yeah, so the Gemara here distinguishes between the flat stone and the protruding stone. The protruding stone needed a little bit extra room. The flat stone didn't need that much room. As we mentioned, that's an interesting distinction between Herodian stone and pre-Herodian stone with regards to the Beis HaMikdash, Har HaBayis today, big nafkamina la aloha, potentially. So Dilma Pargo the Gozis, the Gemara says, yeah, but how do you know the extra tefach is for the protruding part of the stone? Dilma Pargo the Gozis, who? Bahai tefach yisei ubeini urve. Maybe, in fact, the gvil is not the unhewn stone, right? The part that is protruding, you know, that it's rough. Maybe it's half the size of the livni, not more, but there's a space in between. You had two rows of it. And the tefach yisei was ubeini urvehu, kidek arminon, kafsin, kfisin, arche, levenin livni. That the kfisin are bricks, levenin, also kinds of bricks. By tefach yisei, the extra tefach, ubeini urve, is for in between two rows of bricks. Amalei, tameh, kfisin, arche, you know. And how do you know any of these things? How do you know kfisin, arche? How do you know the bricks at all? El gemar gmirila. It's a tradition. So gvil nami. Avi lo mishbaya gmir gmirila. The fact that gvil is these, you know, kind of unhewn stones, that's a halacha lemoshe misinai. Well, the gemar goes back and forth about it. Then the gemar is another lishna, basically arrives at the same conclusion. Amar abaye, shmamina, ko beni urbe tefach. Whenever you're building, like as if we're in construction school, whenever you're building, you need between two rows of bricks a tefach. 3.6 inches, 4 inches. Hani mili betina of a berichsa boitfe. You know, it depends what you're building with. Other kinds of building material might need more room. Vika da amri hani mili berichsa of a betina lo boi kulihai. Okay. It depends on the building materials. Now we get to the interesting part. The main room. The big gazis. Is this to say that when you're dealing with gazis stones, the kol daud amos goiva, whenever you're dealing, you know, for every 4 amos in height, right? Because how old is this wall? How tall does this wall have to be 4 amos? You need a base of 5 tefachim. Ihavi pusya chamisha kai ilo lo kai. If it's 5, it will stand ilo. If not, lo kai, it won't stand. So you meaning you need for every height, right? You need the base to expand. If you ever built a Lego tower, you know, right? You keep building Lego. This is what I watch all day with my kids, but you keep building Lego towers, so you go high and high and high. The higher you go, the bigger base, you know, of course, you need. So, is that to say that for every, Daud Amos, you need a base of 5? Va'amatraxin, the havi gavo tilsin amos, havi pusya eloshish. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, look at Rashi, the binyan shloma, the gazis hava, this was in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, there was a wall. By the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was 30 amos tall, 6 wide. So if for every 4 amos, you need a base of 5, shouldn't that mean that if it's, let's say, 8 amos tall, you should need a base of 10? Right? 10 amos for 4 tefachim. So you should need a base, you know, every 8 amos should require a base of 10 tefachim. But over here, we have 30 amos tall, and it's only 6 tefachim wide. Right? It was only 6. Is that 6 tefachim? Or 6 amos? Yeah, I think 6 tefachim. Yeah. Vekam, and nonetheless it stood. Sigmar says, Kaven the Ika tefach yisei rasakai. Since there's an extra tefach, that extra tefach makes all the difference. Strange. Okay, I don't know. Kaven the Ika tefach yisei rakai. Okay, Chevy here. The ratio should have been 4 amos to 5 tefachim in the base. But once you get to 6 tefachim, whoa, now you can build, you know, the tallest skyscraper in the world. That might be true. I don't know. I don't see the taller buildings having much wider base. Is this, I don't know too much about this, but there's that new residential buildings on, I don't know what that street is, on right below the park. You have all these tall residential buildings. They don't seem to have as wide a base. Empire State Building kind of gets more narrow like this. The World Trade Center was like a straight thing. Freedom Tower also looks like it's a little bit curved, you know, kind of like a rocket. These are just like straight things. So, I don't know, maybe there's a big enough base that can support, you know, unlimited height on top of it, or maybe, you know, a greater height on top of it. Okay, that's what the Gemara seems to assume. Once you have 6, you can build higher. Uve Mikdash Sheni, my time of love at Huffy. Now, the roof in the Mikdash Sheni was taller than it was in the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. The Beis HaMikdash HaRishon was 30 almost tall. Beis HaMikdash Sheni, I think it was 40. I think it was 40. Oh, so the Gavu Mea Amos, I apologize. Here it says 100. What does it say on the side? Near the Zetos. It was 120. 120. Oh no, then he says it was 40. I don't know, we have to figure that out. Was it 40 or 120? One says 40. Oh, 40. Yeah, I thought it was 40. Yeah. 40 almost. Well, I'd say 120 here. Have you seen the Bach? The Rei Bais Rishon HaGavoh Kuf Chof Amah the Hainu Tzes Me'aliyah Rishonah Ba Bais Kuf Olamid. Yeah, the whole thing was 120. But this part was 30. And in the base by Sheni was 40. Okay, so it's an extra 10 amos taller. If we make the Sheni, my time of the Ovid Amatraxin. So by Sheni, though, this Amatraxin, this wall, didn't exist. Kikai betilsen kai tfelo kai. Oh, because base of 6 can support up to 30, but it's not unlimited. It can't support 40. So, Chevy, here, 4 amos needs a 5 tefach base. Yes. But once you have 6 tefach base, you can build 30. Oh, so the Bais Sheni, which was 40 tall, why didn't they build 40 and build this amatraxin, this wall separating the Kodesh HaKadosh from the other parts of the Beis HaMikdash? Kikai the Tilsin Kai, Tfeilor Kai. You can't have 40 on a base of 6. Good. Widen the base. That's the Kasha Shita Mekubetz is going to ask. We'll get to that in a second. I want to have a how do you know that it was bigger? The Siv, Gadol Yeh Kavod HaBais is Achram in Arishon. Passing a Sefer Chagai, I think, right? That this second Beis HaMikdash will be greater than the first. In what sense was it greater? It was 10 amos taller. So, Chevra, what about adding to the base? Look at the Kasha, Shita Mekubetzes says. Chevra, look over here, Shita Mekubetzes. Vim Toima. Lama Osu HaKoiso Rachav Yoiser. Lama Loi Osu HaKoiso Rachav Yoiser. Kishiyuch Lama V'yariku Midas HaBayis. You want to have this Amatraxim, which was this important wall that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So the problem is it was very tall and very narrow. So in the first Beis HaMikdash it worked. The dimension. Second base of Mikdash, which was 10 amos taller. It's not going to work. We're going to have to expand the base. So expand the base! Says the Shita Mekubetzes, says he can't do that. V'yishleimah, d'ahalo matzi abdi hachi d'chsiv, hakol b'chzav miyad Hashem olai haskil. Pesach can say for Divrei Hayomim. Everything has been written out. The dimensions of the base of Mikdash, they cannot be altered. You cannot change the dimensions of the base of Mikdash. So you cannot change not only making it bigger or smaller, but, you know, changing things to the blueprints are not allowed. That you can't do. So it sounds like making a wall taller wasn't included in changing the blueprint, but widening the base, that's changing the blueprint. I guess it's more footprint, really.
Why? Because it takes up more space?
No, because you're going to have to diminish one of the other rooms, right? Every time, I'm not a space planner, but every time you expand the wall, you minimize another room. So you have no right to change the dimensions of that room. Barry, welcome. How you doing? Biker Chaylam over here. I'm not supposed to do this. They said when the guy logs into Zoom, ignore him, but we're not ignoring you. Zach, we ignored. Avery was stunned. All right, you feeling all right? We can't hear you. Huh? They marched you out of the base medrash in dramatic style. They marched you out.
I wouldn't have known otherwise.
You had to leave. You didn't drop a mic or something? Huh?
Yeah, something.
Mic drop. Okay.
Confetti.
Huh? Confetti or something like that? All right. Okay, fine. Anyway, yeah. Oh. So they're not allowed to change the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash because everything has been written down. The footprint. Now, this is not only the Shita Mekubetzes who came up with this Chiddush. She's quoting a Gemara Masechtas Chulin, Gemara Masechtas Vakum, and Gemara Masechtas Sukkah. Important Gemaras. The Gemara discusses Masechtas Chulin. The mitzvah of kisui adam. Have you know what the mitzvah of kisui adam is? When you shecht an oif or a chaya, not a behema. When you shecht an oif or a chaya, you have to cover over the blood after the shechita with dirt. What about in the Beis HaMikdash? Sometimes they shechted oifos. Did they do kisui adam in the Beis HaMikdash? Anyone here ever done kisui adam? No? My shul once made a shechita. They have weird ideas of fun. But they made it, they shechted a behema and oifos. They brought a shechit up to the country. Whatever. This is, another time. Another tkufa. Anyway, but so there was a big thing. Who was going to do kisui adam? But anyway, kisui adam, important mitzvah. You cover over the blood with dirt after the shechita. But in the Beis HaMikdash, where are you going to find dirt? There is no dirt. Bring dirt! That's not dirt. It has to be dirt from the ground. After the blood falls on the ground, you cover it with dirt. So put dirt and put it on the ground. Be mavatal to the ground. You can't do that You're changing the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, so I guess that's just building higher. I guess, unless you're going to say you mean Mavata, what's below it. I don't know, our Gemara didn't seem to have a problem with building the wall higher, right? The Gemara didn't say, the Gemara said build it higher. The Gemara said it won't stand. I don't know. Interesting. But the Gemara Chulin assumes you can't put dirt there because you're going to be Mavato, the area that's below. You're not allowed to do that. Look over here, it says Gemara Chulin or his Gimel. Vahakalo Efshar, on the third line. Bring dirt into the Beis HaMikdash, Sheikh Eliyavit. Leizviv, Vubata, Kamaisav Abinyan. You can't put it on the ground and be Mavato there. You're going to be Moisav onto the Beis HaMikdash. Viksiv, Hakol, Biksam, Yad, Alay, Hashem, Alay, Haskil. Potskin, Dibra, Yom, you can't add on to the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the dimensions. The Gemara in Tzvachim discusses this in the context of an Asham Mitzayra, the Mitzayra at the end of his period of Tzaras, of, you know, Bidud, isolation, so he has to bring a Chatas and an Asham. Usually, an Asham requires smicha. You have to lean your weight on top of the animal and then confess, you know, whatever. But you have to, in order to the animal to serve in place of you, to serve as a carbon, you have to lean your hands on top of the animal. So the mitzayra, though, in order to do that, you have to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzayra is not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. He's tamei. So what can he do? So Gemara says, let him do smicha from outside. They'll bring the animal to the edge, like the Kohanim, bury their mason. They stand outside the Beis HaKfaris and they bury the mason right at the edge of the Beis HaKfaris. That's what Kohanim are usually buried, at the edge of the Beis HaKfaris. So they can visit their car without coming to the Beis HaKfaris. So over here, bring the animal to the edge of the Beis HaKfaris and let him be do smicha like that. So Gemara says he can't do that. First of all, maybe it's because he's putting his hands in. Maybe that's a problem. Bia b'miksa shmei bia. Then the Gemara says, even if bia b'miksa lav shmei bia, even if putting your hands in, or sticking your fingers in. That's one of the shaylos of sticking your fingers into the kaisel to put in your little note, but your little kvito, which anyway, by the way, they just sweep up and throw out at the end of every night. I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but what do you think happens to all these notes, ad infinitum, that there's, they sweep them up and throw them out every once a week. I'm not saying it doesn't affect it. I'm just saying that's what you should know, what happens to your notes. So one of the shaylos was, you're sticking your fingers inside of the wall. Your ear, you're entering in the harabais, but sticking your fingers inside of the wall. Maybe yes, maybe no. Anyway, bia b'miksash, maybe yes. Sigmar says, maybe just sticking your hands in is a problem for the Mitzayrah. Sigmar says, no, I have a better idea. If bia b'miksash, not shmebia, so then, you know, let him stick his hands in. Sigmar says, no, you can't do that. That's a deal in the Gemara. Bia b'miksash, maybe a not shmebia. If I only stick my hands in, is that called the tamei entering into the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, you know, so let him do that. That's a deal in the Gemara. Maybe, according to that opinion, you know, that's a solution for the Mitzayrah. So Gemara says, no, you can't do that because the Asham Mitzayrah is shechted in the north of the Azara. That's far away from the gate. Says the Gemara, no problem. Drill holes in the side of the Beis HaMikdash for two hands so that the Mitzayrah can do smicha on top of his carbon by sticking his hands in the wall that's near the northern part of the Azara. Great idea. We have it pishpesh. Make a hole for his two hands. Gemara says you can't do that. You can't change the dimension of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to do that. The Gemara has it. All of these are not so famous. The Asham Mitzayra, the Kisui Adam. What's famous is the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Gemara says, in Masechta Sukkah, at the time of Simchas Beis HaSheva, they made a great tikkun, a great adjustment to the way the Beis HaMikdash was situated. Because at the time of Simchas Beis HaSheva, they saw the men and the women intermingling. So they tried to have the men in the inside, the woman on the outside, the woman on the inside, the men on the outside, and it didn't work. There was still late sun was going on. So what did they do? Look on the fourth line over here. Hiskinu, shiunashim yoishois milmala v'anashim milmata. The Beis HaMikdash initially did not have a balcony that was instituted at the time of Simchas Beis HaSheva to prevent the men and the women from intermingling. They were born in the day Kavos Reish. Hiskinu, shiunashim yoishois milmala v'anashim milmata. Why did this only have a problem at the Simchas Beis HaSheva? Strange. Right. If you think about it. Well, you'll say, because it was a time of frivolity. How often was there frivolity in the Beis HaMikdash, except the Simchas Beis HaSheva? Maybe. There might be a more deeper, perhaps, answer. And that was because Simchas Beis HaSheva was the time, of course, of the drawing of the water to do Nisuch HaMayim. Did you ever think, why is it that the people of the Dor HaMabul were punished by water? What did they do to be punished specifically by water? The Dor HaFlagah was also bad guys. They were punished differently. Why was the Dor HaMabul punished specifically with water? So Kol Yakar explains in last week's parasha, Tzadok has the same thing in his, one of his Sfarim, Koimetz HaMincha, that it's because Ari HaKadosh writes in Sharei Kedusha, my wife hates this part, I'll tell you why, she's a science person. If you're a science person, you don't like this. But it's classic Ari HaKadosh stuff. And it's really all over general wisdom until about, I don't know when the atom was discovered in the molecule, maybe 200 years ago. But they used to believe, everyone believed from the time of Aristotle until quite recently, that the world was made up of four elements. Water, earth, fire, and wind. Molecules and atoms destroyed all that. But that was a common wisdom. And the Chachmei HaKabbalah claimed that this was not only the root, the base materials of everything that exists in the world, but also each one of them, it kind of drives a different Yetzer Hara. So say, Eish, that Ari HaKadosh writes, drives the Yetzer Hara of Kas, anger. Ruach, wind, drives the Yetzer Hara of Gaiva. Ofar drives the Yetzer Hara of Leitzonos and Atzlos, and Atzvos, sadness and laziness, comes from Ofar. Mayim drives the Yetzer Hara of Taiva, of desire. That's the Ari HaKadosh writes in the Sharei Kedusha. So based on this, Kol Yakar explains, as well as the Tzaddik, now we understand why the Dor HaMabul was punished with water. What did the Dor HaMabul, you know, what was their main... obviously, they did a lot of things wrong. Their fate was sealed because of Gezel. But their primary infraction was that they were niskakon l'she'ein aminam, that they were performing Gilei Arayis in the world. Morality had become corrupt. The issue of Taiva could be traced to water. And that's why the Dor HaMabul perhaps was specifically punished with the punishment of water. One of the Talmidim of Sam Sefer claims that that's why, also, it's a fantastic pshat in a medrash, maybe you heard of, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hayom Rav Ayonois, the sea saw and it split. Hayom Rav Ayonois. Talking about, of course, Kriyas Yamsuf. Pasuk in Tehillim. What did the sea see? What did the waters see? Hayom Ra'a, the waters saw, Vayonos, and they ran away, they split. The Medrash says, it saw the zchus of Yosef HaTzadik. Because the Pasuk says, Vayosef HaTzadik, when he was being tempted by Ishus Paitifar, Vayonos, Vayetze HaKutza, he left his garment there, and he ran outside. So in the zchus, the Yosef ran out from the Ishus Paitifar, Vayonos, Vayetze HaKutza, the waters ran away from each other at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and we were zeichem, you know, to get out of Mitzrayim in the schus of Yosef. Strange, right? If I would say anything, you know, it was a schus for Kriyas Yamsuf, I don't know if I would have traced it back to Yosef. Why is Yosef the what precipitated, or what merited, what brought about Kriyas Yamsuf? So one of the Talmidim of Sam Sefer wrote a Tshuva Sefer called Kol Aryeh. There's a few famous things in that Tshuva Sefer, Kol Aryeh. One has to do with why we cover our eyes by Kriyas Shema. Fantastic shot there from the Sam Sefer. So one of the, he has over here also, fantastic idea. Oh, he says like this. He says, because the Koyach of Taiva comes from water, Yosef was Mizgaber. He overcame the Koyach of Taiva with Eishes Poitifar. In that Zechus that Yosef overcame, he ruled over. Koyach of Taiva was Zeichah, the Kriyas Yamsuf, because he ruled over water. In fact, where were the bones of Yosef? Yosef asked that his bones be brought back to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. Anyone know where they were? The Gemara says in Sotah, they weren't looking for them. Huh? They were buried in the water. Why were they in the water? Oh, he says they were in the water because that's where Yosef, ruled over the water, because water is what precipitates the koyach, the desire of Gilei Arayis. It all can be traced back to water. That's why, Noach has that in common with Yosef. Both of them were in societies that were tempting them with the Koyach of Taiva, giving their eyes, and they overcame them. So that's why, perhaps, we find one similarity between the Chidorites, like this in the Sefer Pnei David. We find another similarity between Noach and Yosef. Both are referred to as a tzaddik. Yosef is Yosef HaTzaddik. Noach is Noach Ish Tzaddik, Tamim Hayab D'Raisov. We rarely find the title tzaddik. Today it's used everywhere.
I think it's only the only two times in Tanakh
that
they mentioned
Tzadik. Tzadik, Yosef and Noach. Why? Because both of them were able to be Mizgaber over this Koyach of Taiva. And that's why Noach's door was punished with the Dor HaMabul. It's because of Yosef. We got Kriyas Yamsuf, that they were able to rule over the Koyach of water. But why, you know, specifically did we emphasize this on Sukkot? Sukkot was a time of plenty. They were gathering in, you know, everything that they had just, they just harvested. That could lead one to certain kind of liberties in other areas. And therefore, during Sukkot, we had a nisuch hamayim. They took the water, they poured it on top of the mizbeach, to show that we understand, even though amidst all this plenty, that we're not going to take liberties in the area of morality and those kinds of things. And therefore, they emphasize specifically the koyach of water. And that's what the Simchas Beis Sheva was all about, was be miskaber over the koyach of Gilei Arayos and Taiva. There were fires at the Simchas Beis Sheva. The Gemara talks about it in Masechta Sukkah, bonfires and different things going on. We didn't know bonfires in Lag B'Omer. But they had big, there were fires. They said you could see the lights from the Sukkah's base of Sheva far away. The Gemara says in Sukkah. What did they burn? So at the Lag B'Omer, they burn, the Biyana Rebbe burns his tie. It's a big holy thing. Biyana Rebbe is the only one of the Rebbes who wears a tie. If you ever knew that. He's the gets the first halakha. Why do they get the first halakha? Lag B'Omer is a holy story. They bought the schus from whoever was in charge of it beforehand. Whatever. So, but the Biyana Rebbe, those who stem from a certain line of Siddhas, it's similar to beyond, wear ties. Separate between the mayach, I don't know, something. So it's like a garto between the brain and the rest of the body. So they, but they burn a tie. He has another tie. He doesn't take off his tie. He burns a different tie. And that's what he puts in. If you ever watch the videos from the Havaka, now we're all scarred PTSD from Iran, but if you watch the videos of the Havaka, you'll see he throws his tie onto the bonfire before he burns it. He always gets the first Havaka. So, Lag B'Omer, they burn ties, and maybe there's an important Indian there to burn clothing, because Shimon bar Yochai's son didn't have clothing in the cave, or whatever that is. Over here, what did they burn? Also, they burned clothing. Again, what did they have to burn? They didn't have newspapers around, so what were they burning? They burned clothing. So which clothing did they burn at the Simchas Beis Shreva? The Gemara says they burned the mechnasayim, pants. The Gemara says in Zvachim that each one of the big day kahuna, they burned the worn-out pants of the kohanim. So the Gemara says in Zvachim, what are the Kaihanim? Each one of the big dekunas is mechaper for a different avera. The pants are mechaper for Gilei Arayos. So why do they burn pants at Simchas Beis Sheva? The whole purpose was to overcome the Koyach of Taiva, the Koyach of Gilei Arayos. That was what is represented according to the Ariyan Kodesh by the water. That's why we do it specifically on Sukkot. We have a Simchas Beis Sheva specifically focusing on this Indian of Gilei Arayos to overcome it. So perhaps that's why the Simchas Beis Sheva is the time that there was frolicking between the men and the women. Dafka now? Maybe it was the only time that there was anything going on. It was the first Kiddush that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. This is the only time they had a Kiddush all year. It was Simchas Beis Sheva. Or maybe it's because, you know, it's tied into the home of what Sukkot is all about, and what the Simchas Beis Sheva is all about. But the Gemara there says, how are they allowed to? So again, until then, men and the women on one side, men on the other side, it sounds like they were never mixed together. They were just separated, one on the inside, one on the outside. Then they decided, you know what, we have to put a balcony here, this is not going to work. Ask the Gemara, otherwise it's not going to work. The Gemara says, how are you allowed to do that? Hakobik Sam, Yadalai Haskil, you're not allowed to do this. So the Gemara says, no, they found another pasuk. Amarav Kro Ashka Kuvadorish. Because the pasuk says, Sefer Zechariah, v'self da ha'aretz mishpachos mishpachos levad, at the time of the hesped, each one of the families sat separately, mishpachos beis David levad, beis David sat levad, and the woman sat levad. A pasuk, Sefer Zechariah, at the time of the hesped of someone, who's it talking about? Mashiach ben Yosef, the Gemara there says. This is at the hesped of Mashiach ben Yosef that will occur right before the Geula. There'll be a hesped for Mashiach ben Yosef. He's going to die, which will herald the coming of Mashiach ben David. There'll be two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef. It's the only time I believe in the Gemara Mashiach ben Yosef is mentioned, is right there. That there'll be a hesped, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come, because he's going to get killed. That will, you know, lead the way to Mashiach ben David. At that hesped, the men and women are sitting separately. So yes, it's true, you can't add on to the Beit HaMikdash. But here we have another pasuk that overrides that pasuk. Because at a hesped, you have to sit separately. In order to sit separately, you have to have, you know, you have to have a real separation. Putting one on the inside, one on the outside is not going to work. You have to have a balcony, and from that they derive the basis to build a balcony. So they overrode it because they had another pasuk. But otherwise, you're not allowed to change from the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. It sounds like from this, by the way, parenthetically, you should know this, there was a huge litigation about this, the issue of mechitza and shul. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is it a din d'rabbanan? Or is it a minig? Who cares? We keep all of them. We're religious Jews. Right? We keep dinim d'rabbanan. No, it mattered, because if you're familiar with the history of the mechitza in the United States, there was a lot of litigation about it in secular court. Why? Because it had in the bylaws of many shuls that they had, or were supposed to have, be an Orthodox shul, or a Torah shul, whatever it was. So many of the shuls, though, in the 50s, wanted to, or 40s, wanted to become conservative and get removed the mechitza. The problem is, there was always a minority that wanted to keep it, or some outside interested party that wanted to keep it. So they sued the group that was trying to change it, that they're changing from the bylaws. The bylaws says it's supposed to be an Orthodox synagogue. So those who defended removing the mechitza said, who says it can't be an Orthodox synagogue, you know, without a mechitza? Where does it say? There's no Sif in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, about a mechitza. Look high and low, you won't find it. So how do you know? You follow the Shulchan Aruch. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have a mechitza in order to be an Orthodox shul? So this came to secular courts. Is this a violation of the bylaws? Is it not a violation of the bylaws? Or Soloveitchik was called to testify. Ramesha and affidavit. Well, it was all printed in a book called The Sanctity of the Synagogue by Bernard something or other. We have like 1,000 copies in the library over here. Fantastic discussions about it. So in one of the books now from Soloveitchik they put out in the last 20 years called Community, Covenant, and Conversation or something, they have Soloveitchik's statement there about the mechitza. But Ramesh also wrote a tshuva about mechitza at the time, that it's a din d'oraisa. So they insisted it's a din d'oraisa, and therefore you cannot be an Orthodox synagogue without a mechitza. If it's din d'rabbanan, we can talk about it. If it's a minig, if it's a din d'oraisa, then you have no choice. It's a break of the bylaws to remove the mechitza. So Ramesh proved that there's a din d'oraisa to have a mechitza from this Gemara. You're overriding a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, how you got to override a pasuk? It's only because there's another pasuk that there has to be a separation between the man and the woman at the time of the hesped. So don't you see from here that the mechitza is a din d'oraisa? Otherwise, you couldn't override another pasuk to install the mechitza of changing the dimension of the Beis Hamikdash. The only reason they were allowed to change the dimension of the Beis Hamikdash was because we're dealing with another din d'oraisa that's of equal importance. The truth of the matter is, though, the Marsha has a different shot in that Gemara. The Marsha says, no, the only time you're not allowed to change the dimension of the Beis HaMikdash is if it's for Beis HaMikdash purpose. The Beis HaMikdash was perfect as it is. You don't have to tinker with it. But if you have a separate concern of Gilui Arayos, that you can change for. Because obviously times change. You have to adjust to the times. What it means is if you're, you have to adjust to the needs of the times, right? So, but if your motivation is because to improve the Beis HaMikdash, no, the Beis HaMikdash was given perfect as it was. So you want to do it for Kisui Adam, you want to do it for Smichas HaKarbonis, don't outsmart the Ribbono Shel Olam in the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. But when it comes to Gilui Arayos, which was a problem that only arose in that generation, that's Marsha says, that's not a violation of a Kobach Sal. And Ramesha just has a whole tshuva disagreeing with this Marsha. He has one tshuva about Mechitza in the first volume of Aruch Chaim, where Ramesha says that it must be Mechitza din d'oraisa, as you see from here, that it overrode this issur of changing the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting, how high does Mechitza have to be? What's the purpose of Mechitza? Not really a topic for now. But Ramesha quotes there as a steer in the Rambam. In one place, the Rambam writes in Perush HaMishnayos and then Gemara in Sukkah, it has to be high enough that they can't see the men and the ladies. But in the Rambam, Yad HaChazakah, it says no, that they shouldn't intermingle. Shouldn't be Nisarev. That's a much lower than Mechitza. So Ramesha thinks, Meikar Adin, it's enough if they won't mingle. What he calls shoulder height. Ramesha was quite short, though. So Ramesha is shoulder height. There's one of the Rabbanim, as a Mechitza, it's interesting. So he said, Ramesha came. Yeah, Ramesha's shoulder height was there. Ramesha was 5 foot, whatever. So anyway, Ramesha had the Iker Adin with shoulder height. Nicer, as if, you know, it's a little bit higher. Can't even see, but he didn't. That wasn't his opinion of the Iker Adin. Soloveitchik also held something along shoulder height, maybe around, a little bit lower. You know, everyone has a different shittas about this. Some are more machmir, should be able to see it all. That's like the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, and there were those who adopted that approach. Anyway, but it must be that the whole issue of mechitzas didn't arise, otherwise how could it override this problem? So the Shittim Mekubetza says that's why they didn't change the dimension of the Beis HaMikdash here, make the wall taller, because you're not allowed to change the dimension of the Beis HaMikdash, Miyad Hashem. It's only the Gemara in Sukkah that they added the balcony, because that itself was a competing mitzvah to have a mechitza, and that's why they were able to change the dimensions. But otherwise, you're not allowed to do it. We just have to analyze, and Maharal asked a fantastic point over here. In what way was the second Beis HaMikdash greater than the first Beis HaMikdash? The pasuk says, Godu yet kovod azeh, abayis azeh, acham min arishon. What it means is that it was taller, but is that really greater? Does it mean taller? Does it mean greater? Was it greater? Was it only taller? In one sense, was it greater? So maybe we'll investigate that, and then we're going to go on to the next segment. All right, Chavis.